Hello, everyone. So I've gotten request after request, probably more so than any other topic ever since I've opened up my channel, to talk about this Aurora, Colorado shooting at the Dark Knight Rises movie premiere. And of course, the topic referenced is that you have three men that gave their lives. I don't even want to use that term, and I'll explain why later. You have three men that died protecting their girlfriends after the lone gunman opened fire, taking care, of course, to throw in canisters of tear gas to, I'm assuming, create even more chaos during the event. Well, let's talk about these three gentlemen then. I don't want to say that they gave their lives. Gave implies choice. What most probably occurred here is, well, we all know through our studies of human and specifically male and female psychology from an evolutionary perspective that there are two patterns of human thought. We have the rational, objective, logical human brain, and then we have the hindbrain, the reptilian, animalistic-based compulsion driver that instructs us in these fight or flight situations on almost a hypo-subconscious level. I mean, this is something that's so ingrained into us that even the word subconscious, I think, isn't enough to explain how powerful these drives are. But we all know this. And that's probably what occurred here. I mean, you know, the song from Immortal Technique, when he's speculating on people who talk about what Tupac would say if people could talk to him now. The line, I believe, verbatim is, "You don't know shit about a dead man's perspective." So I'm not going to talk about what these men were thinking in their last moments. But I can speculate that they weren't thinking at all, that this is something that they just automatically did. We know that the male and female hindbrain is very different. Both of these vestigial centers of human thought, potent that they are idiosyncratic according to the genders. And of course, in the male, we see a overwhelming desire to protect women, even at risk of their own survival. So what most likely happened is when bullets started flying, these men, they didn't even think about what they were doing. They immediately moved to protect their women, and this was automatic. The reasonable mind, in order to rise above its animal competitor, needs, you know, calm and objectivity and time to analyze thoroughly what its brain is processing. In fight or flight situations, the animal mind usually takes over. You know, even trained elite soldiers, Navy SEALs and Green Berets and things like that, they don't have the ability to completely suppress their animal instincts. And I believe, from what I've read on the topics, that these men are taught to be able to resist it, but at the same time use it to its advantage. These human compulsions are so strong and ingrained into us that it's impossible to control them. You can only seek to contain them or reroute them to suit your purposes and suit your needs. And unfortunately, that could possibly, in this situation, have culminated in the death of these three men. Of course, we'll never truly know. And that's simply my speculation and my conjecture. But what's more important, I think, is the aftermath. I'm not talking about the immediate aftermath, but the aftermath societally and culturally, and the way people reacted to this. And I think it affirms a lot of what we've been talking about in terms of male disposability, and how both men and women uphold this kind of gender mental slavery, this gender status quo that is extremely harmful to men. Well, the reports and the blog post and the Twittering and so on and so forth is generating this same pattern of messaging. We see this meme. We see an overarching trend towards this being an exemplary example of male behavior, meaning that these men are real men now. I keep seeing that over and over. I saw a pretty extensive Facebook thread where essentially there must have been hundreds of women, and all of them making the same general standard claim of how these people are real men. We've talked about this thoroughly in past videos, but you see, to die for a woman is the ultimate act of securing one's authenticity as a man in the blue pill world, where male identity is, of course, contingent on female approval and validation. We've seen even CNN pieces, and I'm going to try to find that and put it in the link, where I think the general attitude of one of the articles, I'm going to see if I can find that specific article, was, you know, one of these guys was going through some kind of, I don't know if it was financial trouble or if he was going through a divorce, and the way they portrayed him in that article was that although this was a guy kind of, you know, on the wrong path, and although he was on the wrong way, you know, on the way to deviant malehood, if you will, in this one extraordinary redemption, that is getting shot and killed, he was able to show that there is still real masculinity in America and in Western civilization. What a hero. He is almost revered now as some demigod that was able, through the magical process of female validation, to transform himself entirely and come out as this Adonis, this, you know, figure of male idealism, what we should all strive to be. We see this over and over, reinforced throughout society, and this is what I call, and you've seen this in my other videos, the ceremonialization of male disposability. We see, I've talked about this before, where we see this attitude in warfare, in war. This is the only way that you can get men. It's a rather simple process, really. The only way you can get men to happily charge into no man's land on the field of battle is if you promise him something as simple as a inexpensive trinket that he can pin on his lapel and everybody can see him, and he can kind of bask in this societal approval. You know, society is female-centric. It is gyno-centric, specifically Western civilization. They make all of these claims about it once was a patriarchy. No, this is a female-centric society where men are encouraged, and this is how powerful it is. This is how powerful the drive for female validation is, that it can surpass and dock in some unimportant cue on the pecking order of male imperatives. It can just dock it in some faraway cue. It can dock the male drive to live, what's supposed to be the strongest biological urge there is, now takes backseat to this much more powerful intrinsic male need, this desire to be approved of by women. So, you know, if you tell men that this medal confers onto you some sort of ideal masculinity, they'll gladly risk their lives and limbs for a chance to have it pinned on their chest. Of course, these pins mean nothing. They have no intrinsic value. The American flag has no intrinsic value, and yet men rush every day into battle in defense of it. And this is how it's been not only in America, but in Hitler's Nazi Germany, in Britain, and in India, and in Africa. You tell men that a meaningless piece of cloth represents something that they should fight for, something that they can attain this idealized male godhood. Now, with that said, let's analyze the societal reaction to the man who was actually able to escape the scene and did so. By leaving his I don't know if it was his wife or his girlfriend. Actually, it was his girlfriend, and after they were later reunited, he ended up proposing, which she ended up accepting. But that's neither here nor there. What happened was this man was able to flee the scene. He got away and left his girlfriend and I believe her daughter, and his daughter as well, to fend for themselves. And another man stepped in and was able to lead them to safety, but not before taking a shot to the leg, a gunshot to the leg. Well, we see society have a completely different reaction to this man, and he's shamed and ridiculed, and now he's not a real man, and so on and so forth. The expected reaction that one can predict. And this is where I can admit that my earlier speculation of the three men that died is most certainly flawed and just conjecture on my part, because as we can see, that that biological drive did not grip hold of this specific gentleman who was able to save himself and actually took action to save himself at the risk of his women's safety and his daughter's safety. I know full well that in posting this video, one of the counter-arguments that are going to be inevitably put forth is that this wasn't an act of, you know, gender hypnosis or something like that, you know, ingrained biological proclivities that force men to act in this way. This had nothing to do with that. This was a human being, a genderless human being in this case, because in these arguments, the gender is going to be made to be irrelevant, acting to save the life of a loved one at risk of their own life. And that's how it's going to be portrayed by all sorts of romanticists and so on and so forth. But if that's the case, how come we didn't see any women making that same ultimate sacrifice for their men? I mean, how come no women dived in front of their men? I mean, if these are just situations in which loved ones were protecting loved ones, then how come women weren't protecting men the same way men were protecting women? And that's why I'm led to believe that this most certainly was not, you know, an act of altruism or self-sacrifice, conscious self-sacrifice, because the patterns of behavior along gender lines reflect most certainly the preservationist proclivities of the female evolutionary imperative. If this was all about love and paying the ultimate price to ensure the safety of your loved ones, then I don't think the sacrificial behavior would have defaulted along gender lines, where one gender simply did not act in the way that the other gender did. Of course, these are lives we're dealing with, human lives, so I don't wish to simply coldly define it along these lines, along these cold, you know, assessments. You know, lives were lost, and that most certainly is something that is very tragic. But I do want to have a cold, logical assessment of what compelled this behavior. There is a lot of information to be garnered here. A case study of sorts of, I don't know, maybe you can call it gender dynamics. Dynamics, of course, is a term to signify movement, or better put, patterns of movement. And are there any patterns of movement, or more specifically, patterns of behavior, when the genders are exposed to a life or death situation? It's an interesting question, and a relevant one, and an important one. Of course, it's a bit macabre to speculate on these things, but not intellectually non-valuable. This channel, I think this is why people subscribe. This channel takes an unapologetic, cold scientific view of how the genders interact with each other. And you know, it's of course unfortunate that so many people lost their lives. You know, I have the luxury of this not being one of my family members that was killed in this movie theater. So of course it's easy for me to sit here and make these speculations without the tragedy coloring my insight into it. But for what it's worth, these are my thoughts on what occurred here and how society has reacted to it. Thanks for listening.